All right. If you want to, open your Bibles up to Genesis chapter 27. There are Bibles in the chairs in front of you if you're using one of those. It's on page 21. And you can open up there and then hold on. Just a few minutes ago, Jeff read a verse from Isaiah chapter 55. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. I wonder what you think about that verse, those verses, especially in the times when his ways and thoughts are different than our ways and thoughts. It's easy to agree with God when he's doing things that we want, right? But what about things we don't like or understand? The Lord can and must be trusted even when we do not understand him, especially when we do not understand him. He knows best and he does right in all things. If we are honest with ourselves, as we confessed a few minutes ago, we often think we know better than the Lord. We sometimes think we can outsmart the Lord. He sometimes tells us his ways and his plans, and we seek to change his ways and his plans to our ways and our plans. But he is sovereign, he is all wise, he is good, and his plans cannot be thwarted. And so this morning we continue our series through snapshots from the family line of Jesus, using Matthew's genealogy as a guide. And today we consider the second part of Matthew 1-2, Isaac, the father of Jacob. And we're going to use Genesis 27 as our text this morning, but let me get you from last week to this week. Isaac was Abraham's son, the son of promise. We looked last week at Genesis chapter 22, the call upon Abraham to sacrifice Isaac and the Lord's provision of a substitute in his place. Isaac later was betrothed to and married a woman named Rebekah, a woman from Abraham's kindred in Mesopotamia. Isaac loved Rebekah. That's a unique phrase in the book of Genesis as far as it pertains to a husband and wife. It happens elsewhere. I mean, Jacob loved Rachel. But Isaac and Rebekah. Rebekah was Isaac's only wife. Rare. Good. That is a good thing. Commendable. The way the Lord designed it. Isaac loved Rebekah. And much like the story of Abraham and Sarah, Rebekah was barren. Isaac prayed for his wife. And do you know how many years later the Lord granted his prayer? I'm not trying to go Bible trivia, but do you know? 20 years. Isaac prayed for 20 years for his wife, that she would have children. A reminder to us that we are called to persevere in prayer. Just because the Lord is not answering right now, or we're not hearing much in response, he calls us to be a people who persevere in prayer. Isaac and Rebekah would have twins, and the twins struggled in Rebekah's womb. If you want to turn back one page in your Bibles, Genesis chapter 25, verse 22. It says, the children struggled together within her, and she said, if it is thus, why is this happening to me? So she went to inquire of the Lord, and the Lord said to her, two nations are in your womb. Two peoples from within you shall be divided. The one shall be stronger than the other. The older shall serve the younger. Before they were born, before they had done anything good or bad, Rebekah is told by the Lord that two nations were in her womb, and the older would serve the younger. Now, older and younger as it pertains to twins may seem like, well, who cares, right? But I know we have a couple sets of twins in this congregation. And I can guarantee you, if you ask those twins which one of them was born first, they'll tell you. Am I right, Steph? Am I right, Nancy? They know who's the older and who's the younger. More importantly, in that culture especially, the firstborn was the heir. They were due the birthright, the double portion of blessing from their parent. It would seem strange for the younger to be served by the older. Not in the Lord's economy, though. Esau was born first, and then Jacob came after him, grasping at Esau's heel. Jacob's name means heel grabber, deceiver. Esau's name means red. Beautiful name. Jacob was loved by Rebekah. He was a homebody. Esau was loved by Isaac. He was a man of the fields, a hunter. The Lord's prophetic word to Rebekah bore itself out in the lives of Jacob and Esau. Esau thought so little of his birthright. Kids, Esau thought so little of his birthright. Do you know what he did? What did he do with his birthright? He sold it for what? Some stew and bread. He sold his birthright for stew and bread. And then he thought so little of his parents that he married Hittite women, women that he was not supposed to be married to, and they made life bitter for Isaac and Rebekah. That quick summary brings us to today's passage. Isaac is growing old and nearing death, and he desires to bless his son. In Genesis 27, I'm not going to sugarcoat it. Genesis 27 is a mess from a human perspective. But the mess of humanity cannot mess up the plans of the Lord. The Lord's purposes will prevail. And that's what we learn in Genesis chapter 27. So we're going to read Genesis 27 and consider four things briefly. The value of the blessing, the plans of man, the providence of God, and a blessing for all generations. Okay? I didn't have anything catchy or crafty to say. So, the value of the blessing, plans of man, providence of God, blessing for all generations. Let's read Genesis chapter 27. When Isaac was old and his eyes were dim so that he could not see, he called Esau, his older son, and said to him, "My son." He answered, "Here I am." He said, "Behold, I am old, and I do not know the day of my death. Now then, take your weapons, your quiver and your bow, and go out to the field and hunt game for me, and prepare for me delicious food, such as I love, and bring it to me so that I may eat, that my soul may bless you before I die." Now Rebekah was listening when Isaac spoke to his son Esau. So when Esau went to the field to hunt for game and bring it, Rebekah said to her son Jacob, "I heard your father speak to your brother Esau. Bring me game and prepare for me delicious food, that I may eat it and bless you before the Lord before I die. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice as I command you. Go to the flock and bring me two good young goats, so that I may prepare from them delicious food for your father, such as he loves. And you shall bring it to your father to eat, so that he may bless you before he dies." But Jacob said to Rebekah, his mother, "Behold, my brother Esau is a hairy man, and I am a smooth man. Perhaps my father will feel me, and I shall seem to be mocking him and bring a curse upon myself and not a blessing." His mother said to him, "Let your curse be on me, my son. Only obey my voice and go, bring them to me." So he went, took them, and brought them to his mother, and his mother prepared delicious food, such as his father loved. Then Rebekah took the best garments of Esau, her older son, which were with her in the house, and put them on Jacob, her younger son. And the skins of the young goats she put on his hands and on the smooth part of his neck. And she put the delicious food and the bread which she had prepared into the hand of her son Jacob. So he went in to his father and said, "My father." He said, "Here I am. Who are you, my son?" Jacob said to his father, I am Esau, your firstborn. I have done as you told me. Now sit up and eat of my game, that your soul may bless me. But Isaac said to his son, how is it that you have found it so quickly, my son? He answered, because the Lord your God granted me success. Then Isaac said to Jacob, please come near that I may feel you, my son, to know whether you are really Esau, my son Esau, or not. So Jacob went near to Isaac, his father, who felt him and said, the voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau. And he did not recognize him because his hands were hairy like his brother Esau's hands. So he blessed him. He said, are you really my son Esau? He answered, I am. Then he said, bring it near to me that I may eat of my son's game and bless you. So he brought it near to him and he ate. And he brought him wine and he drank. Then Isaac, his father, said to him, come near and kiss me, my son. So he came near and kissed him. And Isaac smelled the smell of his garments and blessed him and said, see, the smell of my son is as the smell of a field that the Lord has blessed. May God give you the dew of heaven and of the fatness of the earth and plenty of grain and wine. Let peoples serve you and nations bow down to you. Be Lord over your brothers, and may your mother's sons bow down to you. Cursed be everyone who curses you, and blessed be everyone who blesses you. As soon as Isaac had finished blessing Jacob, when Jacob had scarcely gone out from the presence of Isaac his father, Esau his brother came in from his hunting. He also prepared delicious food and brought it to his father. And he said to his father, let my father arise and eat of his son's game, that you may bless me. His father Isaac said to him, who are you? He answered, I am your son, your firstborn, Esau. Then Isaac trembled very violently and said, who was it then that hunted game and brought it to me? And I ate it all before you came, and I have blessed him. Yes, and he shall be blessed. As soon as Esau heard the words of his father, he cried out with an exceedingly great and bitter cry and said to his father, bless me, even me also, O my father. But he said, your brother came deceitfully, and he has taken away your blessing. Esau said, is he not rightly named Jacob? For he has cheated me these two times. He took away my birthright, and behold, now he has taken away my blessing. Then he said, have you not reserved a blessing for me? Isaac answered and said to Esau, behold, I have made him lord over you, and all his brothers I have given to him for servants, and with grain and wine I have sustained him. What then can I do for you, my son? Esau said to his father, have you but one blessing, my father? Bless me, even me also, O my father. And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. Then Isaac his father answered and said to him, behold, away from the fatness of the earth shall your dwelling be, and away from the dew of heaven on high. By your sword you shall live, and you shall serve your brother. But when you grow restless, you shall break his yoke from your neck. This is the word of the Lord. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, grant us understanding into this your word. May the truths of this passage of Scripture help us to see our need, help us to see your sovereign power and your great grace and mercy, and may we be driven and reminded of the great hope that we have in Jesus Christ alone. By your Spirit, would you work among us today and in and through this weak vessel, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so value the blessing. Plans of man, providence of God, blessing for all generations. The value of the blessing, the theme of this chapter. If you read this chapter throughout the week, or even just now along with us, did you notice how frequently the word bless, blessing, blessed is brought up? I counted 20 times in the chapter that it's referred to, a blessing. And for a 21st century American reader, this can be extremely confusing. What in the world has happened? You read this chapter and think, like, what is going on here? Is Isaac magical? Like, does he have magical powers by which he can make something happen in the future just by saying words? Like, why is it that he gets to a point where he's like, hey, I already gave out the blessing. I can't change the blessing. What is going on with this blessing? A good way for us to think about it is in terms of a last will and testament. It was the father's way of proclaiming what he wanted to see happen for his children before the Lord. It was a prayer to the Lord that it would happen. It was a proclamation. If you will carry out my wishes, this is how it will be. There was a prophetic nature in this blessing as well. And you can see by the actions and the reactions of Rebekah and the children in this chapter. Jacob, Esau, and Rebekah, whatever this blessing is, they all took it very seriously. This blessing was much more than, I hope this happens, but more like a proclamation of what will be if the Father's wishes and prayers are followed. And it was irrevocable. Why can't Isaac just fix it when he finds out Jacob deceived him? Because he had declared it, and his word was his bond. Going back on your blessing was seen as taboo. And receiving the blessing of your father was greatly desired. There is great value in the blessing, which brings me to the plans of man, because this chapter is riddled with the plans of man. Scripture is full of examples of mankind making its own plans in opposition to the Lord's plans. There is a way that seems right to a man, says in Proverbs, but its end is what? The way to death. Also in Proverbs, the heart of man plans his way, but the Lord establishes his steps. We got four characters in this chapter, and every single one of them operates according to their own understanding. I'm going to just quickly take them one by one as they appear. Let's start with Isaac. Isaac is old and blind at this point, nearing his death, and he wants to enjoy a good meal before he dies. So he calls Esau to him, and he tells him to go hunt game and prepare delicious food for him so that he may eat and bless Esau before he dies. What he means here is he wants to confer upon Esau the blessing that rightly belonged to whom? Jacob. Esau sold it to Jacob. Even if we disregard the word of the Lord to Rebekah, which we're going to talk about, Esau gave that up. We have the Lord's word to Rebekah, and we have the fact that Esau sold his birthright for a meal. Esau sold his birthright for a meal, and Isaac wants to give it back to him for a meal. Esau was the son Isaac loved, and Isaac intended to bless him. Now, one of three things could be true. Either Isaac forgot what had happened in the past, he never knew what happened in the past, or he was ignoring what happened in the past. And I'm inclined to believe, call me a pessimist, but I tend to think the worst of human flesh, that he was ignoring what he knew to be true. He was ignoring what the Lord had said to Rebekah, and he was ignoring the fact that he knew about what Esau did. He loved Esau, and in his mind, maybe it wasn't right, quote unquote, to pass him over. Though he should have known it was the right thing to do, Isaac was doing what was right in his own eyes. And so was Esau, right? Isaac tells Esau this plan. Gonna bless you. Go prepare for me a meal. Go hunt some game. Prepare for me a meal. What should Esau have said? Father, thank you. Thank you for thinking of me and regarding me as the firstborn. But maybe you're not remembering. While I regret my actions from years ago, I was being impetuous. It was a mistake. But the fact remains, I gave up my birthright to Jacob. And he is the one who's worthy of this blessing. I hope you still have some blessings to declare over me, but Jacob is the one who is supposed to get the double portion, the main blessing. Does Esau do that? No. Esau does what is right in his own eyes. He seizes the opportunity. And so did Rebekah. Rebekah does what's right in her own eyes in this passage. She overhears this conversation. She knows, rightly, that Jacob is supposed to be the recipient of the blessing. And so she goes to Isaac and says, Isaac, my love, you forgot. I'm thinking you forgot. Remember what the Lord told us? Remember what your son Esau did? Remember the blessing belongs to Jacob. That's what Rebekah did? No. She devised a scheme to trick her husband into blessing Jacob. She did what was right in her own eyes. And so did Jacob. He starts by airing his concerns about the plan because he doesn't want to get caught and cursed. Rebekah says, I'll take the curse. If your father wants to pronounce a curse, let it be on me. Jacob dresses up like Esau and wears animal skin so that he feels like Esau. Esau was a hairy man, apparently. He's wearing goat skins. I'm like, yeah, that feels right. That's about right. Jacob brings in a meal that Rebekah made as if it were one that Esau made. Deception is everywhere. Did you notice in this passage, Isaac has lost one of his senses. He can't see. And so the plan is we're going to appeal to every one of his other senses. He can't see that it's not Esau, so we're going to give him, let's see, the feel, verse 22, feels like Esau, touch. We're going to give him the taste, verse 25. This tastes like Esau's food. We're going to give him the smell, right? Isaac brings Jacob near and he hugs him and he says, ah, the smell of my son. That's unmistakable, the smell of my son. There was one sense that they could not overcome. You know what it is? Isaac says, the voice is Jacob's. And so what happens? Jacob uses that same voice to lie. Repeatedly, three times, including when asked the direct question, I'm about to bless you, are you Esau? Yes. Bold-faced lies, because it seemed like the right way to go. These people represent us so well. How often in our lives are we guilty of leaning on our own understanding? How often do we fail to take the Lord at His word? Each of these four, and I'm going to say especially Isaac and Rebekah, should have known that every word of the Lord proves true. Every word of the Lord told you, the older is going to serve the younger. You heard it from His mouth. Going against His plans, or trying to work things out in our own strength or understanding will lead us astray. Do you know that? Do you know that to be true? Have you tried that out? Trusting in the Lord and not leaning on your own understanding? Have you tried out leaning on your own understanding and not trusting in the Lord? We regularly affirm in our gatherings, it's not a throwaway phrase. When we say, like if I read Scripture, we read Scripture, we'll often say, this is the word of the Lord. Some of you say, thanks be to God. That's not just like, you're supposed to say it. It's church, right? We say, this is the word of the Lord. We believe that the word of God, that the Bible, is the God-breathed, inerrant, infallible word of God. We believe that it is a reliable guide for all matters of faith and practice, and therefore, we are called to trust it. Our denomination statement of faith says, therefore, it is to be believed in all that it teaches, obeyed in all that it requires, and trusted in all that it promises. Where in your lives now, right now, are you elevating your wisdom, your understanding, above the Lord's, above His Word, what He has clearly revealed in His Word? I thought about our grads as I was going to be praying for them today. As you head out into this world, you are going to make plans and you're going to go places and you're going to do things, and it's good and it's wonderful to make plans and preparations for your lives. But we pray that by the grace of God, your plans and your preparations will include trust in Him. Trust in the goodness of His Word. A life lived in ignorance to or contradiction of the Word of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ, is a disaster waiting to happen. And so I pray for our grads that you would know and remember that in Christ are all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. In Christ there is life and forgiveness and hope and strength and mercy and grace and wisdom and power. And know that while the world may tell you that their ways are best, we have Genesis chapter 27. Everybody's doing what they think is best, except for following after what the Lord says to do, except trusting that His Word will prove true. And times have not changed. All around us, we are bombarded with others, with other messages of who knows best and what is best. There is no safer or wiser place to be found than in the wise and loving arms of your Heavenly Father. Trusting in His Word, trusting in His promises. There was a way Genesis 27 could have gone that would have looked a lot different than this. But let it be a reminder to us. However, in the midst of the mess, let us be reminded of the providence of God. Isaac is sufficiently convinced. All right, this is Esau. Smells his clothes. It's time for the blessing. So what do we hear? What is the blessing? Look in I should just wear the glasses all the time, I know. Save yourselves. 27. See, the smell of my son is as the smell of a field that the Lord has blessed. May God give you the dew of heaven and of the fatness of the earth and plenty of grain and wine. So just there, he is praying. He's blessing him, calling for him physical provision, abundance, blessing beyond measure, more than he would ever need. Let peoples serve you and nations bow down to you. The scope of this blessing is huge, and it reflects the Lord's covenant with Abraham. He's continuing the Abrahamic covenant. Reminder that Abraham thinks he's giving this blessing to Esau, who should not be receiving it. He is blessing him with the Abrahamic covenant, that peoples would serve you, nations bow down to you, be lord over your brothers, and may your mother's sons bow down to you. Jacob receives what the Lord intended, though Isaac tried to subvert the plan. Cursed be everyone who curses you, and blessed be everyone who blesses you. A direct restatement of God's covenant promise to Abraham. The covenant continues, and it will continue through the line of Jacob, as the Lord promised. I keep saying that because I think that's one of the prevailing things that we're supposed to see is everybody in this story was trying to do things their own way. What God said was going to happen before they were even born came to pass, despite everybody's efforts to mess it up. Our God is in the heavens. He does all that He pleases. The best laid plans of people cannot thwart the plans of God. Before Jacob and Esau had done a single thing, good or bad, the Lord had declared and determined that it would be so. And we might hear that and say, well, that's not fair. Before they were born, he declared it? How's that fair? You're not going to like what the Bible has to say back to that. Who are you, O man, to answer back to God? His good purposes will come. You should like that, by the way. I say you're not going to like. We should like that. To hear Isaiah 55, his ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. He's going to do things that we don't understand. He's going to do things in ways that we don't understand. And when we say, why do you do it this way? And his answer is, I'm God and you're not. There's comfort in that. He's God and we're not. And we're never going to fully understand all of his ways. His good purposes will come to pass, and it's a good thing. Why does Isaac, do you notice it says Isaac trembled violently in verse 33? Obviously, he knew he got tricked. But most of the commentators I read said it was more than just that he knew he got tricked. He was reminded probably in that moment, I have been in defiance of the Lord's plans. And I couldn't thwart the Lord's will. And you will tremble violently when the Lord reminds you, you think you're going your own way? You think you know better than me? You think you're going to do your own thing? You think you're going to thwart my plans? Let me remind you of something, Isaac. You will not thwart my plans. The Lord's plans will prevail. And when we might be tempted to think about this Jacob and Esau story and say, well, that's not fair to Esau. You know, he didn't have a chance. This chapter outlines perfectly. None of these people were qualified to be blessed by God. None of these people. And yet he is still merciful to bless anyway. The Lord's plans are accomplished. And note the reaction of Esau. He's angry. You get this picture of like a temper tantrum at the end of the passage we read. He's demanding a blessing. Bless me, Father. Don't you have anything left for me? Jacob tricked me twice. Did Jacob trick him twice? You could make a case that he tricked him here for sure. Esau willingly gave up his birthright. Esau didn't care about his birthright. He forfeited what was his. He didn't care about his father. He thought so little of his father's, all of his estate, that he sold it for a bowl of stew. But now, Dad's about to die. And now I see what I'm missing out on. Esau did not, at the time, care about the consequences of his actions. And now he is suffering the consequences of his actions, all under the sovereign hand of the Lord. The Lord's sovereignty, the Lord's providence does not make us fatalistic or free from the decisions we make. I want to make really clear, Esau, guilty. Guilty. Everything about his life bore it out. He's guilty. He does not care about the Lord. We are living in a world where we are called. When I tell you the good news of Jesus Christ and I say, believe, it's not like, well, you know, some of you believe. That's a call to all. Hear this word and believe. We are responsible before the Lord for the choices we make. Esau is reaping the consequences of his choices, and he's weeping and he's begging his father to bless him too. And when his father pronounces the blessing on Esau, it's a tough one. The best part of that blessing is eventually you'll break out from under Jacob, but he's going to start a nation that's going to be a thorn in the side of Israel for the rest of the Old Testament. Edom, which means red. Yeah. It's beautiful. Same old story. Cain and Abel, Isaac and Ishmael, Jacob and Esau. Opposing nations coming from brothers. Esau wants what Isaac gave to Jacob. The writer of Hebrews says that Esau sold his birthright for a single meal, for you know that afterward, when he desired to inherit the blessing, when dad was about to die, he was rejected, for he found no chance to repent, though he sought it with tears. I'll get back to that in a minute. Jacob represents the Lord's faithfulness to keep his promises by grace alone. Jacob didn't deserve these blessings, did he? He's lying to his father's face. He deserved none of it. But he's the recipient of the promises by God's grace alone. Esau represents the sinful heart of man that loves to rebel against the Lord and his ways, to pursue fleeting earthly pleasures, and only wants the blessing of the Lord when it's convenient for me. And we are told this in Genesis 27, so that we might not be like Esau, in eternally forfeiting blessing for the sake of the world's temporary pleasures and treasures. Esau's chance to repent was over because the birthright and the blessing had been conferred to Jacob. It was done. Are there some here today who have sold your souls for the world's bowl of stew? Just living for whatever can make me feel good right now. I don't think about the future. Don't worry about that stuff. I don't think about what pleases the Lord. I want what makes me feel good right now. The Lord appeals to you to seek Him, but you pretend to be content in your rebellion, chasing after lesser loves and forsaking the blessings that He offers us in Christ. In the Lord's providence, He was driving all of history toward a son of Jacob who truly deserved all of the blessings Isaac conferred upon his son. He was driving all of history to one who would be a blessing for all generations. And I'm going to bring us to a close with that. The most important thing to see in this passage is that the Lord's promises do not fail. The Lord's covenant with Abraham will continue. And while Jacob is in that line, and he will get a new name. Kids, what's Jacob's new name going to be? Israel. He will be the father of the nation of Israel. Even Israel itself will not be the ultimate end of this blessing. The Lord Jesus came to this earth from this family line, humanly speaking, fully God, eternal God, took on flesh and stepped into this family line. He is the one through whom all things were made. All things are sustained by the word of His power. All things were made for Him. The dew of heaven, this blessing, right? The dew of heaven, the fatness of earth, plenty of grain and wine. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. It's all His. It's all His, made through Him and for Him. To Him is due the service of all peoples and the worship of all nations, as Isaac blessed Jacob. To Him, Jesus, is truly due the service of all peoples and the worship of all nations. He is the King of kings. He is the Lord of lords. He is deserving of full-hearted service and honor of all who are His. He demands it of all whom He has made. All who curse Him are to be cursed, and all who bless Him are to be blessed. Now, I think that's been in the news a little bit this week. And I just want to say, without diving too deep into that, this is fulfilled in Christ. All who curse Him are to be cursed, and all who bless Him are to be blessed. Everything is His, and everyone is His. He rules, and He reigns, and He's the rightful owner of us all. And yet, the Lord Jesus did not come here to flaunt his blessings or to exact revenge upon those who did not give him the honor he deserved. He came to save those who dishonored him. He came to bless those who rebelled against him. He came to share his blessings with his people. He lived the only blessing-worthy life ever lived. Truly deserving of all blessing and all honor, and he lived that life for us. He died to become a curse. He bore the curse that we are under for our rebellion against the Lord, for our sinful rejection of his rule. We could read Genesis 27 and say, I'm Isaac, I'm Rebecca, I'm Esau, I'm Jacob, I'm all those people. I've been a liar, I've doubted the Lord's faithfulness, I've wanted things my way, I don't care what the Lord says, right? We're all those people. I'm somebody who doesn't care about the Lord's blessing until it's convenient for me. I'm all of them. And Jesus died for people like that, to become a curse, to bear the curse that we deserve, right? Rebecca says, I'll take your curse, to Jacob. Jesus takes the curse of his people, the curse that sin has warranted for his people. He died on a cross, becoming a curse for us. He rose from the grave, showing that salvation and blessing had been secured for an undeserving people. Freedom from sin's penalty and sin's tyranny. Freedom from the fear of eternal death. Jesus Christ died and rose so that we could be called co-heirs of God with him. That's an amazing thing. And if you were in Sunday school this morning, you're going to hear it twice. Jesus died and rose so that those whose trust is in him could be called co-heirs of God with him. He is not ashamed to call us his brothers and sisters and share with us his blessings. Jacob and Esau was going to be one or the other. Jesus shares with those who are in him all of his blessings. Every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places belongs to the Lord's people through Christ. Brothers and sisters, have you considered how vast this is? Co-heirs of God, right? Of God. That's the treasure. You get God. And then all the blessings that flow from him. Though you and I were like Jacob, or like Esau, or like Rebekah, or like Isaac, in our despising of God's good gifts and his calls to obey and to trust in him, through Jesus, we have become fellow partakers of all that he rightfully earned. Today we can say, I have walked according to my wisdom and not the Lord's far too often. I have fallen short far too often, and yet the Lord Jesus is not ashamed to call me his brother and share his blessings with me now and forever. One more thing to say, and I really do appreciate it. I am not unaware of the temperature of this room. I appreciate it. It's a lot of hot air coming out right here. I just thought, you know, maybe there are some of you here today wondering if you're Esau. Maybe you're thinking, like, it's too late to turn to the Lord. Think you've already forfeited, right? So Esau, he sought it with tears. He found no chance to repent, even though he sought it with tears. Maybe you feel that you're that person. I've cried over it. I wonder if I'm Esau. To you, I say this. It is not too late. You are not in the category of Esau, in that Esau, the reason why it was too late is because the blessing had already been conferred. It was not going to be changed. If you are breathing and listening, forgiveness of sins is available in Christ. Declaration of right standing before God the Father, sharing in all that is Christ, is available to all who hear and believe. Some may say, well, maybe I'm just meant to be an Esau. I can't control that. This is what I say to you. Hear the call of your Heavenly Father. He sent Jesus for sinners. If you are in the category of sinner in need of grace, hear the call to turn from your sin and trust in Him today. And in Jesus, you will be forgiven and cleansed and declared righteous and a co-partaker of all that is His for all of eternity. The Lord can be taken at His word, and He must be trusted in what He says. His purposes will prevail, and because of that, we can rejoice in hope that the promised Son came for us and for our salvation. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for your goodness to an undeserving people. Thank you, Father, for your sovereign care, for your hand of mercy and protection. Thank you that we cannot thwart your plans. And I thank you for the hope that is offered in the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray, Father, that we would rejoice. We who are in Christ would rejoice and delight in all that is ours in Him and never lose the wonder. May it humble us that though we were undeserving, you showed great mercy to us. And for those who are here today who have not believed, Lord, would you open hearts, open eyes, change us. Give us eyes to see and ears to hear, hearts to believe that Christ has lived the life that we do not live on our behalf, that He has died a sacrificial death to become a curse for us, and that He is raised. He is truly, physically alive and reigning at the right hand of your throne and making intercession for all who believe. May today be the day of faith. We thank you for blessings all ours, with 10,000 beside, through Christ. We pray in His name. Amen.